Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
It's Bud Pod 258.
258. Who died late? Who died late? Hey, you ever meet a real asshole old person and think, who died late? you're dying late. You're late.
Yeah. You're pointing at an old person who you dislike. You're late for the grave.
I remember once I went to a supermarket and I was checking out and there's this old man who was behind me. He's like, come on, hurry up. He was American. He's very old. I mean, hurry up. Come on. And I was like, no, I'm just waiting for this to... And he went, I don't care. Hurry up. I don't give a shit. Hurry up. And
really?
I thought, yeah, very, very peculiar. But afterwards I thought, who died late? He's dying late.
Where? Where was this?
This is in a Waitrose on Edgware Road.
Oh, that's even weirder.
Yeah. What American is living in Edgware Road?
Also, who goes to like a Waitrose in Edgware Road and starts busting out their fucking, hey, I'm walking here.
Like, I know. It was honestly very peculiar. It felt like I was in the Bronx, but in a Waitrose on Edgware Road. It was really, really weird.
So wait, hang on. What, are you doing self-checkout or something?
Or like piling it onto the manned checkout, but we had to like wait, get a divider. Maybe I was waiting for a divider to become free so that I could divide up my shopping from the last person's, and he was getting really annoyed but there was any delay at all.
But there was nothing that could speed anything up. It was going as fast as it was going to go.
This was my point, Pierre. This was my point. What I wanted to say was, sir, you and I are in a bottleneck,
yeah,
and there is little either of us can do about this.
The only thing that could speed up your day is if I didn't exist or have any shopping.
Yeah, exactly. But it made me so angry because he was just such a nasty piece of work. And I think him being that old made it worse. I don't know why it made it worse. Maybe because I thought... Because, you know, being unpleasant, you can sometimes blame on a naivety or a lack of experience or a lack of compassion that is developed over time. But when you're that old, you're in the winter years and you're still a piece of shit, you just must be a piece of shit through and through. Because you're there with his wife, I remember, and she just seemed quite a beleaguered, upset woman.
Of course.
I think he's just a piece of shit.
Well, that's it. And also, because he's so old, you can go, not only are you a piece of shit, you're old, so you've been a piece of shit for so long to so many people.
Yeah.
Like, you've been this rude probably to 10 people today.
Yeah.
So like the overall impact of the misery you've created by being a rude asshole is huge. It's like orders of magnitude above your good deeds.
That's right. I mean, if you integrate over time, you know, the sum of his rudeness is astronomical. And whenever a young person dies who I knew, or I hear of a young person dying, you know, a kind, sweet young person with so much more to give, to compound my upset, I think about that man. And I think he got to go to like his 80s.
No.
Yeah. And no. I think, and it's proof that I guess that there's no God and and no good deed goes unpunished. And
it's quite a day at the supermarket to have all this.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just a very memorable moment.
Looking at your avocados rolling around on the conveyor belt thinking, oh, well, there's no God.
Yeah.
You should have turned to him and said, you are proof to me that there is no God.
Yeah.
See what he said?
Yeah.
I wonder what he'd
have
said.
He's probably not around anymore.
I bet he is. He's dying late.
Yeah, those assholes that can survive nuclear apocalypse, I swear.
Yeah, it's like they've been
pickled. Like Donald Trump, they just keep ticking on.
Yeah, they've been pickled in hate.
Yeah.
The vinegar of their bitterness keeps them preserved.
Who died late?
Who died late?
I implore anyone, whenever you see a powerful older person or just an old person you know who's just a piece of shit making the world a worse place every day, you just think, God, who died late?
Yeah, who died late over here? Do you know what time it is?
You're just angrily pointing at them in the face and then pointing at your watch.
Yeah. Hey, isn't there somewhere you should be? And then point at the ground. In there. What, the floor? No, dummy. The ground.
Who died late? Because it's also like this. Like, it's just an explanation of a lot of the economic turmoil a lot of developed countries are in. It's just aging populations.
It would be a good title for a thesis. Who died late? Yeah. An exploration of the aging population and its effects in the developed West.
It could be the slogan of a G7. It could be on the back of the wall, whilst fucking the Prime Minister of France is talking about farmers behind him. Just to remind everyone what the general theme of that year is overaging populations, who died late.
Yeah. Davos, who died late.
Davos, yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, India and China are going that way now.
Yes, China is in a real difficult position.
China's
people are saying,
in a real pickle.
It's in a real Chinese pickle.
What is a Chinese pickle? I guess a radish.
There's a lot of pickled radish. Mustard plant. They like to pickle that mustard green. Mustard greens.
I like the sound of that. I'm salivating just thinking about pickled mustard. Those are two powerful flavors in one.
This is okay. So yesterday, happy St. Patrick's Day to all who observe this. It will now have been a few days ago. But yesterday, so St. Patrick's Day, I went around Peckham with my girlfriend and we got a Guinness at Skeans, possibly the best Guinness in London.
Oh.
But I was rammed, and it's a very Irish pub, so there was river dancing in the pub.
Oh,
like,
wow.
These gals wearing green were like river dancing and the place was rammed, people were just cheering them on. So then we went to a quieter pub and got another Guinness and we had a Sunday roast. And I got a lamb Sunday roast and the guy asked, do you want any sauce with it? And I said, yeah, I'll have some mustard. And they brought me some mustard and I had mustard with my lamb roast.
Mm.
And when you left afterwards, my girlfriend said, yeah, the couple next to us, after you got mustard, they were whispering to each other and one said, who gets mustard with a roast? And the lady said, I know, it's mad. And I was like, what? First of all, I was astonished this couple were thought they could slag me off next to me and not I wouldn't notice. I mean, I did notice, but my girlfriend noticed. I wasn't noticing anything. I was so enthralled with the joy of my mustard lamb roast.
Yeah, you were just there going, mustard on lamb, boop, boop, boop. Just...
But I didn't know there was a preordained accepted selection of sauces to go with roast. To me, a Sunday roast is so English, and mustard is the most English sauce.
Well, Phil, welcome to an entirely new subcategory of social tedium, which is people who take their roasts so seriously that they follow the secret rules.
Yeah.
I only found out last year that you shouldn't have a Yorkshire pudding with every type of roast.
Well, they'll hate this place because it offers a Yorkshire pudding on top of whatever roast you order.
Well, they should have already stormed out then before they could hear about mustard on lamb.
Ah, so I should have said, oh, really? You're not happy with mustard on lamb? Well, look at this. And I'm just flopping the Yorkshire pudding in their faces.
You didn't have
any problem with this?
You should have flopped their Yorkshire puddings up. You should have grabbed both the Yorkshire puddings and go, what am I squeezing? What am I squeezing on your plate? What is this? It's not bread. It's something else. Oh, I hope you ordered. And now I'm trying to remember which one is the correct one. I think it's beef only.
That feels the most likely.
It's beef.
Beef is the most English roast.
Oh, you've both got chicken, but what's this? Oh, what am I squeezing? Just with your full hand in both plates. As they both like don't look at you.
Because they're so ashamed. Because they know they've been caught.
They're not looking at their plates, but they're not looking at each other. They're looking at a midpoint between their two place settings.
Yeah, sort of looking at each other's... what's that bit in your chest, the bone, the middle of the clavicle?
Yeah, like the décolletage.
Yeah, the collarbone.
Yeah.
They're just staring at each other's
They're just staring at each other's collarbones, and you're going, what am I squeezing? What am I squeezing? And you're alternating.
And they can tell from the peripheral vision, they know what I'm doing.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, they are guilty as hell. And you're like swinging your head from one to the other, nose to nose. What am I squeezing? What am I squeezing? Yeah, man. It's there's a whole bunch of rules. I guess what you should have asked for, they're the kind of people who probably would only have let you have mint.
I suppose, but I felt insane asking for mint sauce at the pub. And also, I didn't want mint sauce. I wanted mustard.
Yeah. I mean, why wouldn't you have... I mean, like, these people, why would you have mustard with a roast? But what about beef? Beef and mustard is the most English possible combo. And I know, like, that's what...
I know this horseradish, right?
I know this horseradish. I know it's Bernie as well. But, come on.
Look, we all know. It's beef, horseradish, lamb, mint, pork, apple. Right?
Yes.
Chicken. Yes. I don't know what sauce is meant to go with chicken.
Stuffing and just general gravy, I suppose, isn't it?
Stuffing, I guess. Although, yeah. If you call stuffing a sauce, I think you should be sectioned.
Bread sauce? Where's bread sauce come into all this?
Isn't that Christmas sauce, bread sauce?
Yeah, it's definitely Christmassy, but roasts are already in Christmas town, aren't they?
Idea of a sauce, by the way, bread sauce.
I mean, when I was growing up and I heard someone say, do you want any bread sauce? I just thought, I've imagined 7 versions of what you could mean, and I hate all of them. What could this possibly be? Do you mean mushed bread?
Yeah.
And it kind of is there.
Is it juice? It's the juice of the bread? Do you boil a loaf of bread until the stock comes out?
It's only after you know how when you toast bread and make toast, there's all that runoff, that delicious runoff.
Yes. The crumbs.
The crumbs.
Yeah, save the crumbs. And boil them in a big pot and you'll get bread stock.
What if bread was gloop? Gloop, gloop, gloop. I should add bread sauce to my wet food routine.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's an obvious addition. I can't believe there were a couple of mustard mutterers sat behind you.
Mustard mutterers. Also, this pub, Pierre, is very queer, very LGBT, very inclusive.
Yeah.
It has, when I looked on the activity board on Tuesday, there is queer choir rehearsal.
Oh.
I think on Fridays or on Monday, no, I guess in Monday, there's drag quiz night. And the guy was a gay guy and he had tattoos and the gal had colorfully dyed hair.
They were the mutterers.
They were the mutterers.
What?
So, yeah, my life was too alternative for them. My lifestyle was too alternative for them.
Just
they are the most accepting of all lifestyles, but have mustard with the roast and they're fucking 1940s housewives, these two.
Just lubing up a fucking strap on and going, mustard, what a weirdo. what a fucking lunatic. As the guy unhooks himself from the ceiling. I know.
just complaining to their thruple about this man having mustard with his lamb.
Yeah, just wait till everyone else at the polyamorous warehouse hears about this freak. When we have our queer vegan nut roast nights, you're not welcome. You disgust me. That's really funny. It's really funny to hear something that is like, that's the kind of overheard muttering that you should be hearing in a pub that is just like nothing but either chinos or like the most aggressively normcore people. That kind of opinion is such a fucking water cooler normal opinion.
Oh yeah. Although I wonder if it is. Maybe they are actually just before the crest. Maybe they've just about reached the crest into universe brain, which is knowing that any sauce goes with anything if you wanted to.
Yeah.
I feel like water cooler chinos wearing all bar one going doofus has ketchup with his roast and thinks nothing of it. And then you move up the scale of sophistication, cultural awareness, and then you hit, you're into lamb, mint, pork, apple, beef, horseradish. So, past even that, Pierre. Universe brain.
Universe brain, or like that graph where it's like the dumb end of the graph and the smart end of the graph agree, the bell curve.
Yes, exactly. It is bell curve.
Yeah.
Yes, so it is bell curve.
They're in the middle bell curve where they're like, oh, you can't have red wine with fish no matter what.
Yes.
And we've punched through to the alternate reality where us and the doofuses are just having chilled red Romanian wine with fish whenever we want.
It just needs to be low tannin and you're golden. That's us on the right hand of the bell curve.
You should have turned around.
And then on the left hand
of the
bell curve is someone in Clapham having Malbec with cod.
Yes.
You know that. So, you know, yeah, so we have the same conclusion, but different reasoning.
A different journey. Yeah, maybe you're right. Because otherwise, like, that's such a, like, I thought that was the kind of opinion that you got a nose ring to escape hearing.
The mustard, you can't have mustard with a roast.
Yeah.
Exactly. Oh, yeah.
That's such a fucking grandma opinion, or like you say, 1950s. I would have thought that, like, if I had a cool piercing and someone was like, oh, you know, you're not supposed to have red wine with fish, I would go, ah, and I'd point at the piercing on my face and they'd go, oh, sorry.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I thought the whole sort of LGBT emancipation movement was basically Assassin's Creed. Everything is allowed, permitted. Nothing's prohibited.
Well, I think
everything's permitted.
For me, though, I think that it's less that LGBT, it's more that they were so alti-looking.
Yeah.
Because you could, there's plenty of incredibly high Tory gays.
They definitely weren't, though. They were definitely...
No, like, I know. That's what I mean. That's what I think is weird. Because they had fucking rainbow hair. Weird. And it's like, hang on, your hair's a rainbow. you can't have rainbow hair and be the source police. If you're the source police, someone should come up and say, hang on a minute, and go, yeah. And then, like, the it's just like a wig, no rainbow hair. It was a Mrs. Trunchbull style bun the whole time.
Yeah, right.
Normal brown, boring color.
Mm-hmm.
I knew it.
Uh-huh.
This nose ring comes
right
off. You know, like, you should have them taken away like your gun and your badge. You're not alternative anymore. No, please, I'm sorry, I'm only 32. Too bad. You just had an opinion about someone else's roast. You get out of here. You're dyeing that hair brown tomorrow, Susan.
Yeah, very, very, very peculiar. So that was my... But anyway, that was my St. Patrick's Day experience.
Yeah.
Yeah,
can't
did you
believe
do anything?
You got sauce shamed on St. Patty's Day.
I know, but it's always a difficult holiday, I find, St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah.
You know. It's a time of ups, a time of downs. Not everyone has a fun one, you know.
Well, it's, yeah.
Did you do anything?
Yeah. And then you can, I didn't even get the chance to be sort of smug about knowing more, slightly more about St. Patrick than the average person, which isn't normally my only pleasure.
Ah, yeah. I don't know anything about St. Patrick.
He wasn't Irish.
Well, they rarely are actually from the place.
Yeah, but he was a Briton, and he was he was enslaved in Ireland and escaped, and then went back to convert them.
He liked it so much.
He was like, you know what? Those guys need. I have a feeling those guys are going to be pretty into this whole Catholicism thing. I think this.
Also,
is...
the Guinness is just better there. Yeah. It's just better.
Yeah,
that's
what he was.
He was the first guy to say that.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. He was saying, I miss the crack. Even when I was a slave, it was good crack. It was fun. They just were more chilled out than these Romano British over here.
He was a Briton. In like a native Briton.
Yeah, so he may not have been from where we now call Wales. He could have been from what we now call England, but he wouldn't have been Anglo-Saxon. He was a Briton. So the language he spoke is his closest modern relative would be Welsh.
Okay.
But he could have been from Cumbria or England somewhere, because they all spoke some version of that back then.
So the Britons are more native than the Anglo-Saxons.
Yes.
The Anglo-Saxons are like half native, and then the Britons are fully native.
Yeah, I suppose so, yeah. The Britons were the people who were there when the Romans arrived, and they were the ones left behind when the Romans left, if they really left. Like, the legions left, but obviously the people were still there.
Okay.
And I didn't even get to say that to someone who wasn't interested in a pub the St. Patrick's Day.
Damn. Were you busy?
Well, I've been
busy
on
driving. Were you busy driving snakes out of a different place? That's what he. That's he did that, right? He drove the snakes out of Ireland.
Yeah, and the Isle of Man.
Oh.
We
Why was
that
such a big snake problem?
Yeah. Well, we say he popped over here and did some hoovering as well. Okay, thank you. We want to be involved. Thank you. No, I've been on tour supporting Mr. Frank Skinner, and
of course,
there's been some Budpod fans. In some of the crowds, which is very nice. I got a Koji at one gig, which was a delight.
Excellent.
excuse me. Speaking of who died late, I'll tell you who didn't die late, Phil. The poet Dylan Thomas.
Oh, yes. I saw you stayed in his house.
Yeah, I posted on Instagram about it. We stayed at Dylan Thomas's childhood. He was born in the front room, his birthplace, and he lived there till he was in his early 20s. And he wrote over 2/3 of his work in that, or while living in that house. He's the one, Phil, who wrote, "Do not go gently into that good night, rage, rage against the dying of the light," which is from what's the sci-fi film they say that in?
Yeah,
Matthew McConaughey, space.
Quantum Daddy.
Quantum Daddy. Yes.
Interstellar.
Quantum Daddy. The guy who. The old scientist who sends them on the mission, he keeps quoting Dylan Thomas, Quantum Daddy.
Right, yes.
He keeps saying rage, rage against the dying of the light and all that, and it's a bit of a theme.
What is the meaning of do not go softly into that good night?
Like, don't give up the fight, you know. Keep going. It's worth fighting for. I think he wrote it when his father was passing away.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of his good amazing stuff. Poems, which are like tattooed on people all over the world, especially in America. Like, he wrote so many of them when he was under 20. Like, he was a real prodigy.
Wow. Was he Welsh?
He was very Welsh. Dylan Thomas. He was from Swansea.
Did he do Daisies, Tulips? What's the one? Walked as Softly as a Cloud? Is that him?
No, that's Wordsworth.
Oh, okay.
No, Dylan Thomas did Death Shall Have No Dominion. That's another famous poem of his. He drank himself to death in New York City at the age of 39.
Wow, the 39 Club.
The 39 Club. and it's crazy to think, but he was one of the first poets to release lots of like spoken word albums of his poems, and they sold really well in America.
Recordings.
Yeah, recordings, and he was on BBC Radio reading out poems all the time. And he had a very sort of sonorous, very posh, but also a bit Welsh voice. And he did like a lecture, like a reading tour of the US, and he was really popular over there, and he was drinking and shagging and like a real celebrity.
And this I want to see what he looked like.
This is like, he did not look like how I'm making him sound. He looked like a little nerdy guy. Have a look at him.
Well, so did, who was that other great poet who was, Philip Larkin was a librarian, right? And he looks a lot, he looks like a librarian.
Yeah, he's a bald guy with glasses. He looks a lot like a librarian.
Dylan Thomas.
Yeah.
Oh, no, he's a bit rakish.
There's some photos where he looks a bit rakish. There's some photos where he looks not rakish, I would say.
Yeah, there's a photo here where he just looks like the president of a Cambridge wine club.
At best. But it's amazing to think that you could be it's like an audio celebrity in those days, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. No, in his youth, I think he had big old
peepers.
All the better to see into people's souls with, of course.
And Phil, when you stay in his birthplace house cottage thing, there is a special in what used to be the dad's study. It's all been lovingly restored by one man called Jeff. He's gone out of his way to do it all himself, all the research, a very impressive project. In what was the father's study, they have a little projector, and if you turn it on, projected onto the wall is a personal message from someone someone very famous. I'm going to, well, actually, how much can I get you to guess? Someone famous is too vague. A former president of the United States.
Okay.
Recorded a personal message for this little house in Swansea.
Wow.
Which one do you think it is?
I'm going to say it's Bill Clinton.
You're close. You're close. He's from a southern state and he was a Democrat. Oh, how much does Phil know?
Was Carter?
Yes!
Yes.
It was
yes!
Jimmy Carter, the peanut farmer himself.
Yeah. Nice one.
It is I hope you enjoy your tour around Dylan Thomas's old house. Like, he's really...
Was he just a big fan?
Yeah. Well, he's big in America, Dylan Thomas. They care about him probably more than we do, I think.
Interesting. Yeah. Why is that?
His album sold well over there with all the most like intellectual powerhouse places in the 40s and 50s. We're talking Harvard and like New York and like New England, all these places. Like he was a big, big deal. Mm. And he died there and he was a celebrity and he was friends with like all the most famous people at the time, both in poetry, literature. Richard Burton did a lot of the readings. He wrote Under Milkwood, a play. Like, he's a big deal. Mm. Big deal.
Mm.
So it turns out it's very funny though, because to me the idea of being like, well, I write these poems and they're like songs and I perform them and I fuck around and I drink and I'm gonna die really young and it's really tragic. That's such a modern idea to me. So to see a bunch of pictures of like a guy with slightly boggly eyes in a tweed suit with like 8 waistcoats on, looking really uptight.
Yeah,
you just think, oh right, okay.
But it's surprising you hear about a lot of these luminaries of that time of the early to mid 20th century were like these fucking playboys as well. John Maynard Keynes fucked around.
Yeah.
He had big dick energy, Keynes. He really was. He was like a rock star. And yeah. I assumed he was nerdy economics guy, but no, he was a fucking rock star, man.
Even Oppenheimer.
Yeah, he fucked. Hey, Oppenheimer fucked. Oppie fucked.
Sexy old Oppenheimer.
They called him Soppy Oppie because he fucked so much. Sloppy Oppie.
Sloppenheimer. Fucking hell.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Sloppenheimer. Speaking of films.
The Man Shaggin' Project. Yes, anyway, yes.
The Man Slaggin' Project. Yesterday, me and my girlfriend to watch Dune because I want to go see Dune. Yeah, because I want to go see Dune 2 at cinema.
Mm-hmm.
So you watch Dune 1 in home cinema.
Yes.
And she was like, no. And I said, I know, but we have to do it to be part of the culture. And she's like, no. And I was like, I know. It hurts me too. But then we really liked it. It was good. Yeah, I really liked it. I thought it was just sci-fi enough. I like sci-fi that's kind of brooding like that and kind of dusty. And it's like futuristic, but it's not like going into hyper warp speed. There's no pew-pews.
Yeah.
I like that there's no pew-pew. I like that there's all still blades and kind of like dusty and I love Stellan Skarsgård as the Baron.
Yeah.
Who just kind of floats around really creepily. It's so blob. Horrible the way he moves, but so good.
It's how funny is it where they go into his chamber and he's up in the high corner like a bug?
Yeah, just like trying to resuscitate himself. He's just like, because he's been hurt and he's like, just tucked into a corner.
He's tucked it, but it's like the upper right hand corner, like where a spider would be.
Exactly, yeah. It's exactly like a scene in Babadook. That's the last time I saw a figure like huddled in the corner of the ceiling. And it's so horrible to see like a man's figure huddled in the corner of the ceiling. It's really horrible.
Yeah, it's really gross.
Yeah, I liked how creepy and gross the movie was. And I liked that. I liked how, like, he was kind of big and fat And I thought, yeah, I guess if you could just float everywhere and never needed to walk, you would be fat.
Yeah.
You just never need to exercise. Just float all up. And you're like, oh, yeah, that makes sense.
You were like, well, I float and I have my bath of spooky oil and, you know.
Yeah. My girlfriend does a really good impression of the wailing, lamenting singing that they always have.
Oh, because it's desert.
Yeah, because it's desert. She goes, ah, like the second there's anything to do with the Fremen people who are endlessly wise because they live in the desert. Honestly, it's, and once you notice it, like, it gets so funny because they never stop playing it in the movie. Just,
it's constant, you know, yeah.
Constant. It's... Ah! Yeah, I get it, man. I get it. It's the desert. I get it.
I get it. They're supposed to be vaguely Arabic. I understand.
They're space Bedouins.
They're space Bedouins. They're space Bedouins with little sort of cocaine pipes attached to their faces.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, that, like, kind of general dunes music. It's like sandstorm music.
Yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, that's a good impression. Look, speaking of digital Bedouin, we should do some correspondence.
Bleep bloop, let's do it.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ring letters. Keep emails. Phone calls. Your sister. Chemistry. Letters. Correspondence.
Let's see what we got. Please forgive my snot. It's not a lot of snot. So, something. What else rhymes with that? My brain's dead.
So cool your tutty tots. I don't know.
Cool your tutty tots.
Cool your hot tots.
Cool your hot tots. I had to explain to someone what a tater tot was the other day. I thought we all knew that by now.
I only have an inkling. It is like mashed potatoes, but roasted into a crispy package.
A cylinder.
A crispy potato cylinder.
It's just like a potato smiley, but better, in a cylinder.
Ah, so potato smiley, shaped into a cylinder. Okay, I get you. I never got into the potato smileys. I think you have had to go to school here to know potato smileys.
Yes, that's true. Well, hash brown. You know what a hash brown is.
No, hash brown is a little different, though, isn't it? Hash brown is a little less mashed up.
It is less mashed up, but it gives you the principle of, like, lump of potato with brown outside, white inside.
So just say, imagine hash brown, but mashed potato inside.
Yes.
Yes, okay.
Yes. And then they said, that's great. Please get out of our house. And I went, okay. I was just trying to explain what I was leaving under your Christmas tree. Right, okay. We have heard from Chris K. He signs off.
Wow, Chris K. Chris, hey. Hey, who's being all secretive about the surname, Chris K? Yeah.
It's a quite a cool surname too, Chris. Well done, you.
Wait, as in you can see the surname?
Oh, I can see it.
Oh, I see. Okay.
I always try and read people's, like, oh, we've heard from so-and-so, as they choose to sign off.
Okay, know? Yes, I see.
I don't want to dob anyone in case it's about crimes.
Hmm.
I just heard shamefully, being an Australian, that cavalcade of crassness and bigotry of Australian tat stickers sent in by Kiara.
Oh, yes.
Do you remember Kiara?
I think, yes, okay, yes. Mike, I remember the Australian, the Kiara. Harsh Australia tat, yeah.
The regional Victorian listener. It made me cringe to the point where my asshole puckered up enough to vacuum in about 30% of my underpants.
A self-wedgie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Self-cringe wedgie.
A vacuum wedgie.
A cringy.
A cringy?
Yeah, cringe wedgie. A cringy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
A cringy. Doctors do not recommend. To point out one thing, to point out one thing regarding the fuck off, we're full bumper sticker.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, classic. Yeah, yeah.
Australia will never be full.
Yeah.
It's impossible to fill Australia.
It's the size of China. It's not as
hospitable. The population of Shanghai, less than Shanghai.
Yeah, I mean, that's insane.
Yeah.
What must Chinese people from Shanghai even think about, like, even like Birmingham, where it's like a million people, they're just like, oh, this is like a kind of remote village.
Yeah. This would be one neighborhood in Shanghai.
Yeah. 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 I live in the Birmingham neighborhood of London.
Yeah.
The one I saw last week in the wild in the shape of a map of Australia on the back of a van could not differentiate between the past tense denoter were and the contraction of we are, we're. So he basically saw a map of Australia on the back of a van that said, fuck off, we're full. Fuck off, we're full. That,
maybe that's the first half of quite an inclusive welcoming slogan. It's fuck off, we're full. Fuck off. I'd be saying fuck off, we're Australia full.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Or,
but as it is not, continues the phrase, please come in.
Or fuck off, we're full, not now.
Ah. But who are they saying fuck off to in that case?
They're saying fuck off to the people who think that we're still full, who I used to agree with, but I don't now.
Yeah. And this is why grammar matters.
Yeah, yeah. It's just someone going, no, no, no. I think I would have agreed that we were full about 10 years ago. I think the death rate and the birth rate now have shifted to the point where I've changed my mind completely. And this is how you find out that it was always about maths with me and never about race. You go, oh, wow. Weird. Weird. The worst one I have seen took across the whole top part of a front windscreen of an old Commodore, the most bogan car ever, not produced anymore, and therefore subject to many remember when style nostalgia posts.
Yeah, now bogan is the Australian equivalent of chav, isn't it?
Yeah, I think because it's a hot country with wide open spaces, the closest thing would be more like US white trash, where it's like, or like hillbilly.
But it's not considered pejorative, bogan. Like, you couldn't go on Radio 1 in the UK and call something chavvy.
No.
But you could go on ABC Radio in Australia and call something a bit bogan.
Yes. I think it's partially because the bogans tend to be quite wealthy on average. There's not much of a sense of punching down. Well, especially in Perth. You get the phrase cashed up bogans, because like, you can get paid like a fucking English lawyer's salary for driving a truck because the mining industry is booming, you know.
Mm-hmm.
At least that was the case very recently. I've seen lots of jokes about that online.
I see.
So anyway.
And this tat is over across the top half of a windscreen.
The entire top part of the front windscreen of an old Commodore. So it's like a very bogany nostalgia car.
Yeah, I'm going to look up Commodore. Is that like a hatchback?
It must be like a hatchback, right? Or maybe it's a truck. Maybe it's a sick rig.
Oh yeah, it's like a station wagon.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, yeah. So someone will probably post that onto like a Facebook group and be like, "Remember when we used to just drive these into the outback with a goon bag and just fucking go wild?"
What's a goon bag?
Box wine. You know, it comes in that silver sack.
Yeah,
that's a fucking goon bag, mate.
Yum.
So that's the car, and I saw. The big bumper sticker across the front of the windscreen of that car just said Womb Raider. in the same font.
I actually have respect for that. I think because it takes up, that person has substantially decreased their visibility to the detriment of their own safety and the safety of others. For people to know that they're a womb raider, I think I have to respect that. There's a commitment to it.
He says it's in the same font as the Lara Croft.
Yeah.
Womb raider. Also, that's odd because it's not vagina raider. Womb.
Womb. Yeah, they're really getting in deep there.
Yeah. So what does that imply?
They want to be a dad. They want to start a family. Yeah, they're not just about the sex.
I'm going to raid the young from your womb. Isn't that nice?
Maybe they were an obstetrician.
I was going to say, maybe they were a doctor who specialized in the cesareans.
There you go.
Well, I'm a womb raider.
That womb. Safely and effectively.
The kid's in there. I get out my stuff. I raid the womb. The kid's out.
When I
replace
it
with
a
bag of sand, like Indiana Jones.
So the mother wouldn't notice. So the mother's alarms don't go off.
So the mother's alarms don't go off, and a big boulder doesn't chase me out of a fanny.
When I was a kid, and when Tomb Raider came out as a kid, and we got games in Malaysia, but none of us had good enough English to know how to pronounce the word tomb that has a B in it, or razor.
That's
not instinctively how you say AI when you're a kid in a not always English speaking country. So everyone called it Tom Rider.
No, did they?
We all called it Tom Rider was the name of Tomb Raider. That's what we called Tomb Raider. Tom Rider. And I was, I think, the first person in my year to learn that was Tomb Raider. But I thought, no one's going to go along with this Tomb Raider thing. That doesn't look anything like the word tomb.
You were like someone who discovered that, like, we do live in a simulation, and you're like, you know what? It's actually better for me not to tell people about this.
Yeah, they cannot know. We have to hold on to this ourselves.
We need
to be strong enough to hold on to this secret.
We need Tom Rider. We don't need a Tomb Raider. We need a Tom Rider.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's the end of Dark Knight, isn't it?
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Yeah.
Tom Rider. It's quite Scandinavian.
Tom Rider.
I am a big fan of Lara Croft in Tomb Raider. She rides the Toms. Thank you, Chris. Chris says, how's he supposed to deal with the shame of being surrounded by this? Just don't take part in the shame. You haven't done anything.
Yeah, there's plenty to be shameful around here. What I find helps is a sort of ongoing base level of contempt for my fellow man.
Yes. Yes, that does
help.
That
really gets me through.
Shame is like a big pie, and you don't have to have a slice. How about that? That's my philosophy.
Yeah.
That's how you can be like completely confident and unashamed if you like lock yourself out of a hotel room nude. And it's like, well, I haven't done anything shameful. I've been careless and stupid, but I, you know.
Yeah, I've been naked in the place you're allowed to be naked in. It's not my fault I was tricked by a wily cleaner.
Yeah.
Now trying on all my clothes.
Clothes, doing impressions of me, and hiding my shoes.
Yeah, because that's how she gets her kicks.
Yeah, putting my shoes in the safe.
Do you ever use a safe in a hotel room? Nah. I left my passport in there once, and ever since I don't use it, because it's just a great way to forget something.
It's a really good way to forget something and just go like, oh, could you come up with a random number combination that you only need to remember for about 7 hours for all of your most precious possible objects, if you remember they're in here at all? No.
Also, what is the hotel saying about its level of security? In the room that's meant to be secure, it says, if you care about something, I'm going to keep it in here. Actually, we don't back ourselves.
Yeah, we hire anyone. We don't give a shit. We don't even know these people. And we've been sent some pub tat from Tom.
Oh, great. Love a little pub tat.
Hello, bud.
Tom Rider? Is it Tom Rider?
It could be Tom Rider.
At last. What an honor to finally meet you, sir.
Yeah. Hello, bud. Hello, pod. Please enjoy some tat that was emblazoned upon the wall of the local micro pub, which is only frequented by old real ale drinking grumpy men. The pub also bans being on your phone, groups of more than four, and talking too loudly.
This pub sounds fantastic. And I think that, yeah, I think that that's just another way of me saying I'm in my mid-30s.
Okay, so I'm going to... yes, so some of this isn't tat so much as just very plain sentiments.
Mm-hmm.
So there's one, it just says, drink good beer with good friends.
Yeah, I can't fault that.
It's good advice.
Yeah, it's decent advice. Drink better and less would be my good pub tat.
Yeah, but, that's true.
That's not good for the business model.
That's bad for the business model. Unless there's a beer called Less that goes for 10 or a pint.
That's it, yeah. Maybe if I sell premium beers.
Yeah. See if you can whisper this one. I used to think drinking was bad, so I blank blank.
Oh, great. I love this sort of thing. I used to think drinking was bad, so I...
blankety blank.
So I used to think drinking was bad, so I killed someone. to sort of recalibrate...
how bad things could be.
Yeah. No, that's like, a bit out there.
No, it's very standard, this.
I used to think drinking was bad, so I got drunk?
No. Okay, I'll give you a clue. I used to think drinking was bad, so I quit...
thinking.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
You got it.
Of course. That's a good one.
Okay, so beer doesn't have many blank. That's why you need to drink lots of it.
Beer doesn't have a lot of nutrients.
Vitamins, I'll give you that.
Vitamins, that's why I have to drink a lot of it.
Says some... husband and dog missing. Blank, oh, blank, great. Blank.
I love this. Husband and dog missing. Please search pub.
Husband
and dog missing. Is this the woman's having a good time?
No, it's husband is bad tat. And okay. Dogs are good. The usual message.
Oh, okay. Husband and dog missing. Please find dog.
I'll give you that reward for dog.
Ooh. Okay, very good.
And then there's
why did you get married? Get a divorce.
Don't put it on the wall.
Don't air your dirty laundry.
And then there's just a poster that is lots of different ways of asking for beer. So you know, un cerveza por favor.
I've lost you.
In beer, as blieft.
Hello.
Yeah, Phil's going all crumbly now.
I lost you for a few seconds. Oh.
Hello. Uh-oh.
What? Why is mine on data?
Phil's internet sucks. Yeah, well, I told you
that's
you were
true.
On data.
No, I wasn't. It's just this. My internet is great. But for
apparently
some reason,
not, mate. Why'd you look like you're covered in pixels?
Don't badmouth my data. Well, listen. We're at the end of the episode anyway. Okay, now I'm back on Wi-Fi.
Okay, now we've got to we've got to go to the internet, the VIP internet router.
Okay, what the hell is that going to be? All right. Yes, I have to do that. People go to see Pierre.
Yes, Soho Theatre. It starts on the next week. Next week, mm-hmm. people. Next week, come see.
I don't have anything to tell you right now, but I will soon. That's me searching for something to tell you next time through the desert. Bye.
Bye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.